Bow with me. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come, we bring all of the burdens and needs in our lives. We come together, some of us rejoicing, some of us in sadness, some of us in gladness. We bring all that we have to you, our relationships and our families, our jobs, our friendships, the future that we do not know, but you know, so we trust you. We trust you as your children. Those of us who have followed Jesus Christ, we trust you, Lord Jesus, with the future. We thank you, Lord, for this day and the opportunity we have to study your word together. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. How we pray that for those who are here today who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that you might prick their hearts and minds and awaken them from their spiritual sleep and help them to come alive by believing in Jesus and following him as Lord and Savior. For the rest of us who've believed and followed you, Lord, help us today. Forgive us for our distractions in our life and the times when we don't trust you. We thank you for your promises, Lord Jesus. They are promises that we can live our life by. We pray that you might teach us from your word today. We thank you for the good fellowship we have together. We thank you for the opportunity to sing praise and worship and to honor your name. Now we come to hear what you have to say to us from your word, from the very words of Jesus. So we pray that you'd help us to be, by the help of the Holy Spirit, taught and without distraction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Great to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 14, I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest here with us today, we're honored to have you. And we hope you'll come by and say hello to us on your way out today to your, as you go out the door, it's just to your left. And come by and see us. These days, I've been talking to the church about a very important subject. The Bible's filled with all kinds of promises. Promises kept are promises that have been made based on the character of the person who makes them. So today we look again at some of these amazing promises of Jesus. Jesus here in John chapter 14 is coming toward the end of his days, facing the cross. And he comes now to speak to these who have been with him from the beginning. He's had a deep, long relationship with them. But now he's going away. Jesus knows he's going to die. And he won't be with his friends, his disciple friends, any longer. So he spends in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13 through 16, sharing with them some amazing words and promises. There's not a person in this room today who has not experienced the pain of broken relationships. Not a one. Everybody here, young and old, boys and girls experience it. Maybe their friend moves away. But their friend moves away, and so their relationship changes. Sadly, marriages end and relationships change and friends come and go, and every one of us has experienced the pain of broken relationships. Jesus talks about, however, a lasting, eternal relationship with God that never goes away, that cannot be broken, and that is eternal. It's a relationship for this world, and it's a relationship for the next world, and it's just for those who are his disciples and followers. The other thing I want to say about relationships before we read these words is you get out of a relationship what you put in it. I mean, what does the scripture say in the book of Proverbs, if you're going to have a friend, you must show yourself friendly. You have to put some effort into it. Sometimes couples will say, complain about each other. Well, he doesn't do enough, she doesn't do enough in their marriage. Well, it takes both. A relationship is based upon what you do and what the other person does. What we're going to see here is some of the most profound truth in all of God's Word. And I'm going to do my best as the preacher of the day to talk to you about this. These are profound words. And I really want you, I'm praying that God will give me, first of all, the ability to say it in the right way, for you to hear it in the right way without distraction, because some of you today, you're going to need this promise, not only today, but down the line. And our focus is going to be primarily on verse number 23, but I want to read the larger words around this because they talk to us about this give and take in a relationship with God. Look, if you say to me today, Pastor Mike, I don't have much of a relationship with God, well, what are you putting into it? You ever spend any time with God? You ever pray? You ever read God's Word? You ever spend the time? Do you make the effort? Do you have to take the effort to build a relationship with God? By the way, do you even know the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't have a relationship with God till you first do that. So this is very important. Look, you've heard preachers talk all your life. You've heard teachers talk all your, about the importance of a relationship with God. Now we're going to come and look at how Jesus describes that powerful, lasting relationship. And this is a promise that can go with you all the days of your life, from your youngest of days to your oldest of days, and I hope you'll be encouraged. So let's stand now and honor the reading of God's Word, and we'll read beginning in John chapter 14, verse number 16. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, I will ask the Father. By the way, as we read today, these words, I want you to notice three very important words that are recurring. I want you to notice the word with, I want you to notice the word in, and I want you to notice the word will. That's what promises are always based on. I will do this. I will. So watch these words now. I will ask the Father, here's a promise, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. A promise. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus says, I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, and this will be the focus of our time together today, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. Heavenly Father, help us now today to understand the promise made here by Jesus, our Lord. How I pray for some of my friends who are here whose relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it ought to be. May today they be challenged to see what it looks like to have a deep, abiding, permanent relationship with you, a relationship that's more important than any other in life. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make three observations from verse 23. Jesus is answering the question of Judas, not Iscariot, who asked him, so how is it you're going to disclose yourself to us? That's in verse 21. Jesus' primary thought is in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. is the one who loves me. I can't stay long on this, but I have to start here. Listen, I'll illustrate. He who has my commandments. Looking around this crowd today, most of us here, unless you're very unfamiliar with your Bible, you've heard Jesus' commandments. Everything from believing in him to have eternal life, all the way through his commands on how we're to live in the world. How about this one? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus says, if you have my commandments, 21, and keep them. Follow me. Follow what he says. He who has my commandment, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and you do it, you love me. Oh, there are people who shout and sing and preach and testify and go out and wear badges and clothing. I love Jesus, but you see, you love Jesus when you do what he says. When you do what he says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Lord, I love you. And the Lord says, do you obey me? So in this relationship we have with God, it requires us to respond by obedience. If I say I love the Lord, then I'm going to do what the Lord said that I ought to do in my relationships, in my family, my friends, at my job, and all. I'm going to be a Jesus follower out in the world. And people will see that I seek to follow the values of another besides this world. So Jesus makes three promises in verse 23. He's answering Judas, who says, "Why? How are you going to disclose yourself to just the disciples, but not to the world?" Jesus says in verse 23, if anyone loves me, again, he's repeating what he said in verse 21, he will keep my word. And here's the first promise, my Father will love him. Second promise, we will come to him. Third promise, and we will make our abode with him. So I'm going to talk about those three promises today because they describe what it looks like to have a permanent, lasting, eternal relationship with God. Number one, Jesus says, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, look at this, so precious. I'm not going to be able to do justice to this, even before I start. So precious this is. Jesus says, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him. My Father will love who? The one who loves me and who keeps my word. We learn here something about the love of God for the child of God. Oh, look, the Bible teaches us. Jesus teaches us, John 3:16. The love of God for the world is this, that he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, the love of God for the world is that he would send Jesus. And it's our job as God's people to tell our friends and neighbors about Jesus as being the answer. But this is something different. This is the love of a father for a child. Oh, this is so different. This is special for all of us here today. How profound this is. Because what Jesus is describing is that when we love Jesus and do what Jesus says, God the Father loves us because he's loving us as his children. You know, Jesus is called the beloved. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased when he was baptized. The voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. The beloved one. Jesus is the beloved one. He's loved of God. Oh, don't drift on me. Listen. Now you who have believed on Jesus, you've trusted in him as Lord and Savior. You become a child of God. You are a beloved one. And this is an astounding truth. In fact, if you have your Bible open, just for the sake of time, 1 John is so very famous. 1 John teaches us so many of these principles. John's reflecting on what he heard Jesus say. But how about this one, 1 John 3:1. Many of you know these words, but I'll read them for you anyway. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. What is the love? 1 John 3:1. Look, today I'm describing it. There's a great love that's now been poured out upon those who believe in Jesus and follow Him and love Jesus. What is that love? Look what it says. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. Here's an astounding thought. Are you listening? Jesus is saying here that if anyone loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him in the same way that God the Father loves the Son. I'm going to read something astounding to you. John 17:26. It's the last verse of that magnificent prayer of Jesus. It's his last words of that prayer. And in John 17:26, Jesus says, I have made your name known to them and will make it known. So that, this is an amazing verse. These are amazing words. So that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. You see, we have all of this back and forth that Jesus describes of God being in us, we being in God. In fact, he says it in John 14, verse number 20. In that day you will know, and this is the day, we're living in the day. We're living in the day Jesus was describing to his disciples. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You see, a relationship has two sides. I do my part, God does his. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Oh, today, my Christian friend, look, here's something good for you. Here's a good promise. You are loved by God as much as he loved Jesus Christ as he walked on the face of this earth. You are a beloved one. No matter where you go, no matter how people treat you, no matter what may happen in your life, you are a beloved one. You are beloved. You are beloved by God. You are one of his children. I become a child of God when I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, he loved the world and sent the Lord Jesus. But he loves his children. You have a blessing in that you have a heavenly Father who loves you greatly. In fact, Paul was so overwhelmed by this truth, he described it over and over. He talked about how the love of God is poured out in our hearts. Whatever else is going on in your life today, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, Jesus said, my Father will love him. You will experience the present love of God. The love of God poured out in your heart. Look, when you know somebody loves you, you're not afraid of anything. When you know somebody loves you, you really don't care what other people might do. When you are struck and overwhelmed by the fact, oh, you may have a husband or wife that loves you, boys, you know, children that love you, grandchildren, but no love compares to the great divine love of God for you and me as beloved ones. We are loved just like Jesus. What an astounding thought. Paul said in Romans 8:15, you have received the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God. Listen, you've received the spirit of adoption. And Paul says to us, by which we cry out when we pray, what? Abba, Father. So Jesus says to all of us who are his disciples, when you pray, say this, our Father. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is our Father. What an amazing thing. I got to hurry. Second thing Jesus promises is a lasting relationship with God's companionship. Oh, we want somebody to run with. Look, you were made for companionship. You were made for friendship. You were made to have relationships. God made us this way. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we're reminded that God created us for relationship with Him. We're designed and based. And the sad thing about people in the world today is they're looking everywhere trying to find that person or that thing or that substance to give them a satisfaction and a peace that only comes in a relationship with God. A relationship with God that's based on companionship, he says here, these amazing words. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Number one, first promise, my Father will love him. Number two promise, we will come to him. I wish I could read this to you. If we could all read this in the original language, in the Greek language, it is a word that means I will come toward him. I will come face to face with him. That's what you do with a companion. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what it looks like to be a companion with God? When you are in face-to-face relationship with God, you know what's great about it? You're not ashamed. You may have a very good friend and a very good companion, and you share a lot of very, very intimate secrets. You talk to each other about things, and you're not ashamed. You see, in our relationship now, the Lord, this is amazing. I come to Jesus, it's right here in this verse, and he comes to me. I come to him, he comes to me. What happened? Pastor Mike, what do I do in my relationship with God? Every time I start to pray, every time I gather to hear his word, every time I listen and pay attention to the Holy Spirit prompting me, I come to the Lord, he comes to me. I come to him, he comes to me. This is the, you get out of something what you put in it, folks. Someone will say, I just don't have that feeling. What are you talking about? Feeling. This is about obeying. This is about listening. This is about walking with the Lord. You see what's interesting about what Jesus is saying to these disciples? They've been with Jesus face to face in person. They've seen Jesus hungry. They've watched him in all of his ministry. They got to see Jesus physically. Jesus is teaching these disciples what it's going to be like us. To have a relationship with God that is spiritual, that you can't touch him, you can't see him. And like Peter wrote in his letter, and though you have never seen Jesus, you love him. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus today. We obey him, we follow him, we love him. And as a result, we experience the love of God in our life as a child of God. He confirms to us, you are my child, you don't have to be afraid. And the second thing he does is he walks with us. He stays with us. That's what John says. 1 John 1:3 here on the screen. What we have seen and we have heard, we proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship with us. The word fellowship means the same experience. And indeed, our fellowship, look at this, is with the Father and with his Son. Look, we have fellowship with God individually, then we come together as God's people, have fellowship together, and we all have fellowship with the Lord in this amazing thing of a relationship. We are companions together walking with God, and he is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We will come to him. There's nothing better. Let me tell you, there's nothing better than when you've been all by yourself somewhere, you've been through a hard time in your life, and you have a friend who comes to you. There's nothing better. There is nothing more refreshing. There's nothing more encouraging. When you've been beaten down by everybody else, you've been judged and criticized and critiqued by them all, and your friend comes. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, do you love Jesus today? Do you keep his word? That's a sign of loving Jesus. My Father will love him. And we will come to him. And finally, I'll just say this quickly. This is an amazing truth. Our lasting relationship is not only based on the love of God and our companionship with God, and I could have said a lot more about that, but also on God's presence. Jesus says we will come to him and make our abode with him. Have you ever had somebody come over to your house and just kind of move in on their own? Don't say their name out loud. I mean, they just show up and they never leave. They're just there. They just start eating out of the refrigerator, and they start wearing some of the people's clothes in the house that they fit. I mean, they're just there. They weren't there, now they're there. They just make them, have you ever heard this phrase? Just make yourself at home. Well, we don't really mean it, but when they do, it really bothers us. Jesus says, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him and we will come to him and we'll make ourselves at home with you. That's what you want. That's what you want. You know what's great about home? Home isn't the building. Home's the people and their presence that are there. You know, when you go through that phase of life where your kids are older and they move out, and at least they go for a while and they go out, and you are there with just your spouse, the house is so quiet. A home is made up by the presence of the people who fill it. Look, folks, this is so important. Do you know what it's like to be possessed by God? Paul said in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to you the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner person so that Christ may dwell, same word, house, be home, in an abode, live in your heart, inside of me. He possesses my mind. He possesses my desires. He possesses my body. What did Paul say? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask you this again. Do you know what it's like to be possessed by God? You know, there are a lot of people who in this country know what it's like to be under the influence of alcohol. There are a lot of people in this country who know what it's like to be under the influence of drugs. And you know what they'll say? Well, I just wasn't myself. No, you were under the influence of a substance. People also do things to one another, and they do it in a very hostile, bitter, and angry way, and they do it out of their own self-centeredness, their old self. Because, you know, when you live in your old self, you're in charge. You want everybody to do for you because you're the center of the world. Being controlled by my old selfish nature, being controlled by substances beyond me, but you know what we're talking about here? Being possessed by all of the power of God. It's not a theory, it's a fact. Listen, this is important for all of you here today, no matter how long you've walked with God. The more I am with the Lord, the more I am walking with Him, the more I listen to Him, the more I obey Him, the more I'm doing what I'm doing and believing the promises of God and reading God's Word and taking them to heart, all of a sudden the inside person, the spiritual person, grows strong. And you know what I do? I say no to those old urges that I used to have. I say no to those places I used to go that I'm not going to go anymore. Because I have strength, because now God is strengthening me on the inside. That's why Paul said it in such an amazing way. Christ in you, in you, in you, the hope of glory. You see, He is not only present with us, He's present in you. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, I'm sorry, you have a very serious growth in your body. And if we don't take it out, you're going to die. The growth was there before the doctor told you, but you became aware of the growth after you saw the x-ray or whatever they do to show it to you. And now you have an understanding of what's inside of you. Pastor Mike, I'm just having such a hard time overcoming in my life. If anyone loves me and will keep my word, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Listen, the Lord is with you. The Lord is in you. Live by the power of the one who is alive and risen from the dead, the power of God in your inner person, so that you might experience satisfaction and joy and the results of what the Holy Spirit, you see, this is what God does. This is God's plan. God's plan is to come and possess us and make us like Jesus. So today we end. Jesus, if I will love you and follow you, do you promise that I will experience permanent love? Yes. Jesus, do you promise that if I love you and I keep your word, you'll always be with me? Yes. Jesus, do you promise that if I love you and keep your word, you'll possess me and change me from the inside out? Yes. You see, a relationship is only what you put in it. So it starts with you. It starts with you. Friend, if you've gone far away from God and you're dry in your soul, you're dry in your spirit, you know that your relationship with God is not what it used to be. Cold-hearted, slipping back into those old tendencies and living the old way you used to live. Today's the day to say, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm going to begin to obey you again. Forgive me of my sin. For some of you here today, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. To have this eternal love from God, to be an eternal child of God, for Him to be present with us, for Him to be in us, it only starts when you say yes to Jesus and trust Him as Lord and Savior. So we invite you to do that today. So what is it that the Lord's saying to you today? This precious promise of lasting relationship. Look, everybody else may forsake you and forget about you, but if you are a child of God, you are loved, God is with you, and He is in you. Is anybody glad? I said, is anybody glad? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that as you teach us, we come to understand what it is it means for us to have a relationship with you that lasts. Lord, we have been quietly here, focused, listening to what you have to say to us. Now, Lord, we must respond with yes. Yes, I will follow Jesus. I will believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I will follow Him. I will be baptized as a believer, follower of Jesus. Yes, I'll live for Jesus at my job, at school, in my family. Yes, thank you for loving me as a child of God. If you're here this morning and there's a public decision you need to make, you need to pray to receive Christ, you need to join this church, we want you to do that. This will be the time to do it. In the balcony or below, you're among friends. Many, many of us have done the same thing in our lives. We've come to a season in our life where we said, look, I need to make a change. I need to follow Jesus. And we'll help you with that. The pastors are here. We'll help you talk about what you do and how you do that. And if you need to come be a part of this church and it's time for you to do it, you come and do it. So we're going to sing, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Let's stand together, and as we sing, we invite you to come. If you need to come this morning, you step out right now. Come to meet one of us here at the front. Let's sing.